Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on Soul Stream, prayers to help some friends and a time for a cool change. We're going to let discipline play out. I love this song.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone. Sailing on the cool and bright clear waters. Lots of those friendly people, they're showing me ways to go. But I never want to lose their inspiration. Time for that it's time for a cool change. And now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. It's kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
Well, I had a little trouble with my soundboard, so I'll just start this a little differently. Had a little some problems here with the control board. I'm going to reload that, but I thought that was a good start here, my friends. Oh, that's why I got signed out. There we go. And we are still on the air. It looks like I'm still here. Yes, things are working. This is SoulStream, and tonight on Friday night, not a normal night for us. We've been sticking to the weekends, but a lot's been going on, and I thought that it would be a good idea to pop on and kind of have a general kind of open show, but really the purpose of this was to help a few friends who were having some troubles, specifically somebody I went to school with. Her name was Michelle Morris, and somebody I grew up, she lived like right over the hill from me. And there's a friend of mine I see out in the audience who was also at school with me. Hello, Leslie. Good to see you out there. And, of course, we've got some of the regulars here. Daniel Adam here is co-piloting tonight on SoulStream. We've got Nancy. She's our security specialist. She's actually quite dangerous. You really need to watch out. We have Quinny out there. Quinny Pooh, we love you. Hello, my dear. You've been doing the poke thing on all day, and I've been doing it back to you on Facebook. And Tim, our intrepid electronic specialist, just like me. And I'm going to meet you someday, man. You and I have got stuff to talk about. But anyway, I am just amazed at some of the stuff going on. Michelle has a cousin who has turned up with stage 2 cancer. And so tonight's show was mainly to get the word out to both live audience and out to those listening in archive to basically say a prayer to, basically visualize healing for this young lady and to give her a hand with her recovery. And if you could get the word out, her name, this young lady's name is Lisa. So if you'll do me a favor, on tonight's show is definitely put the word out on Facebook and get all your friends together and let them know about this and say a prayer for Lisa to help her with her treatment. She's going through chemo, and it's not an easy process, and I've seen people who have been through this, and it is a very, very tough thing, and she needs all the support she can get and the family too, and even say a prayer for my friend Michelle. So it was rough to see that, and I immediately just knew I had to do a show. So I don't know what city she lives in. Leslie, you might know where that's at, but I know that the family has connections both in Nevada and California. That's basically, as far as I know, the whole story there. So, there's also been a development. Mia Dolan, the British medium, yesterday ended up with what we thought was a heart attack in a hospital in England. And, and Leslie says Reno is where this is at. So just over the hill from where I'm at here. So everybody, send a healing to Lisa, the young cancer patient in Reno. This is where you'll send the energy. And the same thing to Mia. Mia is out there in England. I'm not sure what city she's in, but she is been having quite a time of it. I've been following her on Facebook, and she's been having trouble sleeping. And I thought, something's not right with her, and I just felt really wrong about what was going on. She just couldn't seem to get the sleep. And for a week, she was like that, and all of a sudden, a message popped through. She was in getting tubes and wires and everything put in her, and so immediately everybody was rushing to her aid. And she's an amazing, amazing medium, somebody I have a lot of professional respect for. And turned out it wasn't a heart attack. She is home now. A lot of people did some healing energy to her, and this isn't over yet. They haven't quite figured out why she had this attack. So she's off cigarettes now and off coffee. Oh, God, I don't know if I could do the coffee thing. The cigarettes, yeah, and I don't smoke anyway, but I couldn't give up the coffee. Sorry, no, ain't going to happen. But she is definitely needing some prayers also. So the word's probably out more about, you know, Mia, with what's going on with her, but still good energy to her. Tonight, some of the other things going on, the world seems to be really hurting right now. And this thing in Oslo, just, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a little blunt here. It pissed me off to see somebody do that. I mean, this is not right, what these people do. And, you know, there was some real blunt talk about, you know, Islamic fundamentalism and the things that were going on. And now it's looking like maybe it's not that. But, you know, still, it doesn't matter, you know, which group did it. It's the fact that, you know, there's a bunch of young people who were killed and their parents are missing their children. And other folks in the cities, you know, are, you know, in Oslo, we're walking along, and the next thing they know, the city's blowing apart. It's just not right. There is no cause for this. And so, you know, you got to look at what's going on, you know, with the morals. What's going on with the morals of these people? And they live without spirit. They live without connection to God. And that's the only thing I can think. It really is. Yeah, it is sad. I mean, I remember so vividly the day that on 9/11, when I was I went into work, you know, and I work in defense, and I was on the phone with a friend of mine whose offices were across from the Pentagon, and he's telling me what he's seeing. He's watching the place burn, and he's telling me the things he's seeing, and he's watching the smoke rise, and I'm just astonished, you know, that this could have happened in our own country. And now it's, you know, hitting other nations, you know, and you know, it's just, I don't get it. I don't understand what the payoff is for hurting people. I just don't get that. It doesn't ring right with me. I you know, there are a lot of people who want to try to pacify these things, and I don't think that's the right answer. I think the answer is to look within and look at the people around you, and if you do see them in trouble, if you do see them losing hope and basically going in a direction that maybe isn't right, do something about it. You know, say something. If get them help if they won't help themselves, but don't let a situation go so far that a person without hope reaches out in a way that basically takes out a bunch of people who had nothing to do with it. Yeah. It is. It's an epidemic of craziness, and the environment that's going on, especially with the whole fiscal environment and the strange things that have been happening in the economy and the way the governments of the world are reacting and the way it's all going, I really feel that this is a time when we're really being tested for what our metal is. You know, who we are as people really needs to come to the fore. And you know, I listen to the stories. I go back to the stories in my own family of the Depression and people who were living without, you know, living without things and living without a lot of wealth, and yet they were still rich because they had each other and they pulled together and they made things happen. And it's, you know, it was a story my mother told me tonight, and I thought I would bring that up. Now, Quinny, I do see that about the right-wing extremists. They're going to try to blame the Tea Party. That's right. There's a lot of propaganda. A lot of people try to take advantage of this kind of thing. The thing to do before I do the story is to realize, you know, when you see all the media things going on, when you see all the people that are talking and they're trying to get you to believe this and that, it's time to stop and take a deep breath and then watch who isn't talking. Watch the people that are not doing the talking. Watch the ones who are out just kind of occasionally popping in and saying something, and then they step back, and then the rest of it just runs amok. And those are the ones I tend to watch, because experience says, you know, there's agendas in these things. So especially when somebody says, you know, I actually heard this from one of the, you know, I think a White House person, said, never let a good crisis go to waste. I mean, what a sad statement on the state of things. When you can do that, why would you say a thing like that? That is the height of non-spiritual behavior. Absolutely not spiritual at all, and it has no basis or right to be in this country, as far as I'm concerned. And we all know who that person was. I won't say, but he is the mayor of Chicago. Anyway. I had the funniest experience. I was sitting here, my control board, before I go on, my control board, I'm sitting here, and I looked and saw this picture I hadn't seen before on my control board, and it showed, and what I thought, oh, what a pretty picture of a bird. And then I realized that this bird was actually this really delicate little creature that has landed on my screen and is sitting there keeping me company for the show. So I have this insect, which looks a little like a kind of almost like a seagull, and I thought it was a bird. I mean, it tells you how far 52-year-old eyes will go, you know. But I mean, going back to the stories, though, yeah, it really is. The you know, there was this story my mom told me from the Depression, and it was called she called it rock soup. And basically, the way it works is this old man was poor, and he went around and he asked his neighbors for food. And they all were hoarding food, and no one had enough food to help each other, you know, or to help themselves. And they certainly couldn't help others. And so they were basically, you know, turning him away. And he went to neighbor to neighbor to neighbor. And finally, he just decided to hell with it. And he goes out and he gets a big old pot from his kitchen, and he takes it out to the town square, and he builds a fire, and he puts this pot up, and he brings a bunch of water in, and everybody's sitting there watching this. And he starts to he puts a big rock in this dang thing and starts cooking it. And pretty soon people come out and go, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm making rock soup." And pretty soon they're all looking, go, "Well, how's it taste?" And you know, the water's boiling and the rock's sitting there cooking. And he gets a spoon out and he says, "You know, it could use a little bit of carrots in it to get a little extra flavor." And this guy says, "I've got some carrots." And so the guy goes and gets carrots, and they cook some more. And the guys, you know, they ask him, you know, "How's it taste?" And he says, "I could use some beans." And so this other guy says, "Yeah, I got beans." He goes and this guy gets beans, and they put it in the soup. And then comes back, and here's another, another taste set. And the guy, you know, says, "You know, what now? How, does it need anything else?" And they, it could use a soup bone. And pretty soon, you know, by the time they were done, this thing is, it's not just rock soup. It's a real soup. And by the time they all realized what they had done, the old man says, "Now everybody has what you need, because we all work together to build a soup that we could all get nutrients from and help each other." And then he started passing out the soup to all the town, and everybody was fed. And that is true wisdom, and that's true spirituality. That really works for everybody. And that works independent of your philosophical persuasion, your political beliefs. That's just a community coming together and being taught by somebody, an old wise man who knows what's what the meaning of life is. So that's my 2 cents today. Let's see, what do we got? 9:48. Yeah, people helping people takes a village. Good story. Yeah, I challenge you to pass that around. The spirit of that story, that it's called Rock Soup. Rock Soup. I may write it up on my blog and put it out there. I'll transcribe it, and then hopefully people will take that for what it means. And just get past the media. Get past all the blaming. Get past all the stuff where everybody's mad at each other. You know, it's the nation's in a crazy place right now with everybody blaming each other on the budget, and nobody wants to act, and yet we're heading towards the rocks, you know. And I've taken action, here at our home. We're growing our own food. We're setting up the ranch. I mean, I've been working very hard to, set up the ranch so that we are prepared for the things that are coming, because I don't have a lot of faith in the politicians. I have a lot of faith in me. I have a lot of faith in my abilities to take care of myself and my own family, and then help the people around me after I've done that. And that's exactly what the village, you know, concept is. I think that really what will happen is you will see these things taking place, irrespective of what some centralized authority thinks that they can tell you to do. They are not going to be able to control that. So I really believe that, this show, you know, here I come out here, I do mediumship, and I'm going to be doing that tomorrow, and I'll be doing some on Sunday. But, I mean, what's really interesting with spirit, some of the things that I've learned from them and learned from people who really know their stuff is we are not beings who are sentenced to some purgatory on earth, and this is the horror of life. is we come here to live so that we can learn, and then take that lesson, back to the other side when we go there, and we've grown far more than we would have if we hadn't been here. So that's the whole point of it. And so that means that we're spiritual beings living a human life. You know, when I go off air, I'll tell you something. When I go off air after these shows, it's funny because, you know, you could live your whole life spiritual, absolutely 100%, you know, caught up in spirit. But you see me on Facebook, you see me out there, I'm building an observatory, I'm out there digging in the dirt, you know, I'm dragging stuff around, I'm talking about my projects, you know, I'm refinishing a bench, an old bench that we could have thrown that out, but with a little bit of love and a little bit of redwood and a little bit of elbow grease, I'm bringing that bench back to life, and that's going to have my energy in it. And someone will appreciate that. You know, my father, who is not going to be here long, will get to sit on that bench. I mean, you see what I'm saying? You know, it's disconnect from spirit so that you can take the lessons of spirit to be able to do the life stuff you've got to do. And then when you do need that guidance every so often, that's when a medium comes in handy. You know, they can offer perspective. Yeah, it's a swing. Swing style bench. You know, it's really cool. Nancy's out there saying, but it's good to see everybody out there. We've got my good friends. Let's see, Almost Heaven is here. Dan Adams co-piloting tonight. Driss Reg is here. Giraffe Angel, hello, my dear. Good to see you. Grace 4108. Hi, Grace. Good to see you. Hope E66. Hi, sweetheart. Leslie, big hug to you, my dear. Good to see you. Nancy Mum, she is a dear, sweet friend, and she's always chatting with me on Facebook. And Quinny is out there always poking me on Facebook, and love her dearly. She's another dear friend. Tim Zuhl, good to see you, my friend. It's one of those glider type ones. You're right. It's been around the family about 20 years, and so I'm going to renew it. You know, I got the Rust-Oleum. I got all the stuff that we need to put it back together and get that in working order. I should have that done. I get overly optimistic with projects. I got to say about that. I tend to like go, oh, I'll do it in a weekend. But, you know, I like to do things right now. You know, I built that clock, which some of you saw me build. And I wanted to do it in a weekend, and it took 3 weeks. Because I had to let it dry. I did all the right stuff, you know. And so if you take your time to do things right and go for quality, it'll pay you back in spades. So what I'm going to be doing this weekend is I'm going to be cutting the wood, doing the drilling, then retaliation. Yeah, I see that. Doing the drilling, and then I'm putting a special clear finish on the redwood so it'll look natural. I'll have a nice natural look to it. And so I'll have that, and then I'll be painting the framework and getting that done. So I'll take it all apart. It'll look like it'll be brand new, so I'll put pictures out on Facebook for my friends out there of that little project. I was talking, I think it was with Nancy, I was telling her about my new clock for the project for the studio here. I'm going to be doing what's called a regulator clock. I've gotten into clock building. Time seems to fascinate me lately. I don't know why, but I've gotten into clock building. It's a neat hobby, but this is going to be a from-scratch clock. I've never done this before, so I'm going to build a clock from scratch. So, you know, this is working with your hands on things that, you know, you've never tried before, and you're pushing your limits. So why not? I'll give that a go. Some good news on the mediumship front, going back to spirit for a minute. I have sent in my final test results for volley for poke. Yeah, right, Quinny. But I sent in my completed test for my final test for mediumship certification with my friend Carol, and she is a great teacher, and she runs ImagineSpirit.com. I'm not doing a commercial for her per se, but I've got friends who are taking her course, and they like what they see, and I sure did, and she really opened my eyes to a bunch of things I didn't know. I thought I really knew mediumship, and then I found out really quickly, oh my goodness. Yeah, Hope, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and add me on Facebook. But I'm really looking forward to getting the certification, and then I'm going to actually start private readings in September. I'll be setting up a calendar and doing call-in stuff, and then occasional face-to-face for folks here in my area. So I'll be doing mediumship as a side thing. And, oh, God, what else is going on? Dad is improving. Dad is improving. That's another thing. A lot of you did pray for Dad, and we have had some real fun with him with the medicines. It turned out he was allergic to Keppra, and it made him psychotic. And believe me, living with a psychotic parent is an experience you don't want to have. So I have really been glad. He goes through ups and downs, but lately it's more good days than bad, which is really a good sign. And now he just grunts at me and then tells me, yeah, right, when I tease him. So that's a good sign, because he used to get up and walk out. So now he's tolerating it. And occasionally he'll even attempt to humor with me, which is a really good sign. So we're good to see that. But tonight, I'll tell you what, 9:56, we started at 9:30. I'm going to do a station ident here in a minute. And what we'll do then is we'll open up the chat, open up the lines. And also in chat, any of you who have someone that would need prayers, get it out there, and I'll definitely read on air what you've got. This is the healing show tonight, so it's going to be for people that do have a need. If you know somebody in need that needs special energy, we will definitely read it out on air and ask people to do that and get the word out to all their friends and start something moving to help folks, because... hope to find me on Facebook. Oh my God, that's a tall order. If you know my name, J-O-N, and last name is Almada, A-L-M-A-D-A. Just look for John Almada out there. There's not too many of us on the planet. John and the middle name, initial is F, so you'll see me out there. Or just message me on here on Blog Talk, and I'll give you the link, and that'll set you up. There you go. Quinny put it out there for me. Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, I have a trouble. You know, it's funny. I don't have a co-host anymore, so I'm kind of sitting here trying to type and do this stuff and read people and all that, and it's just like, wow. Yeah, Mother Earth, you know, needs prayers. You know, you're right. You're right there, Driss, Reg. I'm just going to call you D. How about that? Because I don't know if I'm saying that right. All right, Dee. Basically, you're right. The planet has been through a lot. You know, I've spent a long time in the business of protecting the country. And I'm coming to the end of that, and I'm, you know, making my map for what I do next. And I like the idea of now doing something that's a little, you know, although it was constructive, the work I did, now I'm more interested in doing things that are creative and healing and positive in a new way, not necessarily Quinny's going, guess middle name, Frank. You're close, very close. Franklin. I was named after Ben Franklin on that middle name. That's one of my favorite people on earth is Ben Franklin. Great guy. Let's see. We're going to do station identification, and we'll come right back. And after that, we're going to open up for some psychic readings. We'll do some, some mediumship if somebody wants to talk to somebody who's passed. And Nancy Mum is saying Albert. No, what, that's my dad's name, Albert. I wonder where that came from. Anyway, we're going to be back in just a minute. So I'm going to do station ident, and this is Soulstream. We'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes. Let me see. Let me find one that's good here. Goodness gracious, I got to find a good song here. Here, I'm going to put a funny one on, though, for you.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Oh, my God. Let's see. Let's do a little bit of... I am having trouble finding this one that I want to play. There it is. I got my bumpers. Okay, they're back. All right, we'll be back. This is Soulstream.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soulstream on blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
Here is on with me privately on private chat, and she's funny. She is wanting me to do some private spots here. I'm actually one of my other businesses I'm doing, in addition to mediumship, is I have done a lot of voiceover work, and I've done things for the various defense videos, safety videos for the company, and I've done other radio shows, done different spots for them. So I have opted to open up my own voiceover studio, which is, I'm sitting in Studio A right now, so it's doubling as that also. And so I am recording for other Blog Talk hosts, doing some of their openings for them. And I did that for Kathy's Distant Echoes, and so I'm going to be doing more. I've got several people wanting me to do these things, so I'm going to do it, by gosh. You like my radio voice, okay? So cool, I'm going to do that. Yes, we have flying kitties. It's amazing. Cat juggling is not good, so don't try to juggle them. Just throw them, yeah, and then they'll land on their feet. They're good. Electrical kitties, though, I like this. Gerber Daisy says, my cat's injured. I think she may have fallen down a cliff chasing something. Been to the vet 3 times. Oh, my God. She got into something there, my friend. Have you tried running energy over the cat? I mean, that's actually something you can do. Give that a shot and see if that helps. Yeah. A hypnotic voice. You know what's actually funny? You would say that, Nancy? My grandfather was a research neurosurgeon. He actually ran after he finished his surgical work and his because he got sick. He had a heart attack and he could not operate because his hands would shake. He had a little bit of a shake after that. And so he went into criminal neuropsychiatry, and he ended up on the State Board of Directors for Mental Health of California, and he ran DeWitt Mental Hospital. It's no longer in existence. But he actually did a lot of pioneering work in hypnosis. So, yes, we do have a hypnotic voice here. I've got the genes. So it was good. It's funny how these coincidences happen. And, you know, quinky dinks. Anyway, hey, the number is 646-478-0377. Open mic night, whatever you want to talk about. Encourage you to call in with people you'd like to have healings for. Or if you have stories, or you want to share something about helping people get through these rough times that we find ourselves, feel free to do that. You know, call in with suggestions for gardening if you've got something like that, or how to reuse things, how to save money on something. I'm kind of letting it open up a little bit here. So we'll do that, see if anybody wants to call in. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit here and chat like hell with you guys. So I see we have a guest out there who has not changed their ID, and I was a little quick in the last week or so on pulling the trigger on them. Guest 16474, I do see you. If you don't log in, I'm going to boot you. So you've got about another minute here before I make some changes. I'm a ham. Yeah, more like a hamburger. A ham. You know, actually, it was funny. I was always in front of the camera and definitely got attracted to the microphone early on. My father had his old microphones from his radio shows back in Missouri, and he had tape recorders, and I was always around that growing up. And so I would always play around in the in his studio and mess around with stuff. And so it just seemed to be something I was destined to get into, you know. And then once some people at work in our media division heard my voice, they grabbed me and threw me in front of a mic and started having me read copy. And that was my first introduction to that stuff. It was wild. Okay, I'm going to toss out 16474. I'm going to go ahead and kick that one. And there we go. And I see a 16649. I'm just going to watch them for about a minute, and we'll see if they want to go. We are not too tolerant of the guest thing. I know there's some folks out there that seem to have some issues. So we help them on their way. We hope they'll listen to the show, but if they want to sign in, they should put their John Hancock on and come on in that way. So anyway, no callers yet, so let me think about what we're going to do. I'm going to do a little bit of psychometry tonight. And I have, I have the perfect objects here, and actually several here. Oh, yes, this will be good. You guys know what psychometry is, don't you? Maybe some of those of you who don't know what psychometry is, I'll go ahead and talk about it. Psychometry is is the ability for somebody to basically pick up an object and divine basically what that object, its history is, or things about the object, even without looking at it. Now, the way we do psychometry on the show is a little bit different. Basically, I'm the kind of the sender, and you guys are the sendees, the recipients. So I'm going to basically be calling out tonight color, and then we're going to go into shape, and we may even go into, if you guys are good enough, we'll go into the part where you are, guessing exactly what it is that we have in front of us here in the studio. So I tend to be pretty inventive, that's another good one. Hey, I've never used this one before. Oh, my gosh, that's the way. Oh, I just broke it, too. Actually, no, I didn't break it. It tends to fall apart. I've got to put some glue on it. Okay, so I already know. That's one of the first ones we're going to do. Okay, so what we're going to do, you jumped right on that. So which one is rusted and which one is green? You guys got that. How the hell did you do that? I swear to God, how did you do that? I mean, I didn't even send yet. Well, you guys are good. Yeah, that's exactly right. I had my hand on the green of this thing, and it has a rusted part connecting it to something. So we're going to, since you were that good, good Lord, that was the fastest we've ever done. I didn't even get it out of my mouth. I mean, I was just going to start to say, what's the color? Good Lord. You guys, I've been training you too good, man. Nancy says, check my messages. Check my messages. Where? I don't see any messages. Is there like a message for me someplace? Oh, are you trying to be psychic with me? Oh, baby, baby, you're a ham. Okay, Quinny, you're funny. Anyway, I have this object in my hand, and I'm just going to basically hold it, and I'm going to project energy your way. And believe, you know, you don't have to believe that this works. You just have to basically pay attention to the first things that come into your mind. And we're going to work on color tonight. So tonight with color, I'm holding this object in my hand, and I'm going to give you starting in, 10 seconds. We're going to do 1 minute of color send, and then we're going to have you guys guess. So starting now, and you can guess any time during that minute. So here we go. I'm sending now. And anytime you guys want to throw a basic color, and this is a basic color. There's going to be no teals or anything like that. Just give me what you think you're receiving, and then we'll see who gets closest or who gets right on. Oh, we got a yellow. Mm. We got a red. We got a blue. We've got same object. They have different colors. Leslie's going with red. Yeah, okay. Keep going. Keep going. We'll see who gets closest. Anybody else? We got an orange. We got a blank. That'll work, Nancy. Blanks are not working. Don't do blanks. No, no, no. We don't do no blanks here. Oh, yo, that's not right. Silver with black inlays. Really? That's interesting. Black. Almost heaven black. You guys are hitting it tonight. All right. I'm going to go ahead and stop here. This is actually multicolored, and so you guys have a number of colors. I'm going to look at this a little closer here. It is a wand that I was given by a friend, a magic wand. It's actually from a Harry Potter representation, and it has a silver inlay that has black. Quinn, you got a direct hit. Hope. Got the brown of the actual the wand itself. We got a kind of reddish colored stone at the end with a gold kind of a goldish colored band around that holding it in. And so we have several of these colors. You guys each keyed in on a different color, and Gerber, you hit it right on the money. It's a round stone. That is there. It absolutely looks like a marble at the end of it. So it's actually glued in with a special glue to. So it is totally round, absolutely. And you guys hit right on the money. So this is actually a pretty good sign. I mean, you're all keying in on these different aspects of an object, and here you are. Some of you are thousands of miles from me. You know, and that's amazing stuff. So it shows that these techniques work. You can do this for yourself. And one of the things that we do in training people to do this, and I'm going to kick this person here. Goodbye. Sorry about that. But what we do is, dyslexic psychometry. That's good. Yeah, like all every color, it's primary opposite. Oh, yeah, I'm dyslexic, man. But what we do, if you want to learn to do this yourself and you want to have fun, grab some family that are, that actually, actually hang out with you and play. And that's a great thing to have is a playful attitude to this. That's why we have fun on this show. And a lot of the things that we hit on are so good because it's the fun. But there's a purpose to it because there's a training aspect to this or there's a need. And that's when this stuff really starts to really hit well. In this case, for you guys, get a basket and, have everybody put an object that they've handled in that basket. You know, it can be rings, jewelry, coins, something they've had a long time, you know, and they throw it in there. And what you do then is you just reach in, close your eyes, as you pass it around
you reach in without looking and you put it in your hand and you close your hand around it, and you have to describe the energy that is coming off that object. Now, you may be able to feel what the object is. You know, there's no getting around that. It could be a ring and you know it's a ring, but you don't know whose ring it is. So if you, you know, basically if you start describing the person that goes with it, or things about the history of that ring, where it might have come from, or, you know, anything that is relevant, that's the thing to do. Now, you will be surprised because you will think that you're making this stuff up. You're actually going to believe that. You'll believe that this is absolutely a bunch of BS and that you're getting it wrong. And then you're going to be surprised, you know, because you're taking a risk and you're trying these innate faculties that we all have. And they start showing themselves, and you're going to be blown away, and then you'll want more of it. And the more you use it, the better you get at it. Gerber says here, I asked my mom if she's ever seen a ghost or spirit, but she says no, but she feels them. Absolutely. People do feel ghosts. We could talk a little bit about ghosts right after this. Sure, that'd be good. But, you know, do this. Do these techniques. Get people together and try that. Another game you could play where you're just by yourself is, let's say you go into a store and you go into an antique store. Put your hand on something and try to get some history of it and see what impressions you get. You may actually get visions. You may actually see different things. You got to be careful there, though, because there are spirits that sometimes attach to objects, and you want to be, you know, if you do get a funny sense, maybe I shouldn't touch that. Don't do it. But a lot of the times you'll go into these places and there's such a raw amount of concentrated history in there that you can check these objects out, and you might ask and see if maybe anybody knows the history of the object and may be able to confirm some of your impressions. And you'll find out often that you are dead on, that your innate instincts were right on the money. And it's a good idea maybe to write them down, you know, put them on a little sheet of paper, and then that's just for you. You know, but those are the things that to do, to practice, that get you pushing these faculties to do new things. Now, the funny thing is, you find yourself using them when you're not expecting it. I've gone into places, even in my work environment, believe it or not, where I'll sense things that have happened. I'll sense the energy that's been in the room, or I'll go into a room and I'll immediately sense the energy of what's going on. And it comes in really handy. There are a lot of medical professionals and spiritual professionals that do this day in, day out. They can sense things, and there are doctors I've talked with who privately will tell you, they'll never say it professionally, but they'll say to somebody that they trust, we use our intuition quite a bit, and here's why. And they see spirits, and they'll get different, they'll be able to see auras, and they can see the effects of disease on the aura. You know, they have all these different, gifts that they use to good effect. You know, I do it myself. You know, I trust that inner instinct, that inner guide, and it really comes in handy. You know, so, I mean, I really recommend to people, develop this, push it. Let's see, you know, we were talking now, maybe going into ghosts here. You know, that's funny, about the ghost there. Who was it that had the ghost? Let me scroll back a little bit here. Yeah, Gerber. Gerber was saying about her mother having the ability to sense these ghosts and feel them. Yeah, I don't know how it is for you guys. Maybe you can say, you know, what you sense when you sense spirit. Or you sense a earthbound spirit. I get earthbound spirits that come in and the room goes very cold. Now, you know about Anna, you know, the spirit that we crossed here a couple of weeks back, and she'd been with me for 25 years or more, since we've been here on the property up in Shingle Springs. And that she was just a dear, dear friend, and she finally was ready to move on, and she basically let me know she was. And I told her, repeatedly, when you're ready, I'll help you go. And she was ready. And so I did that. I helped her go across at the last, you know, full moon. And, but she had this, she would come in the studio and I could feel her. Yeah, it's exactly right. Ringing in the ears, cold pressure. Nancy just said that in chat. I would get the touching sensations. Actually, the hair on my arms would raise up when she was in the room or nearby. Sometimes I would actually feel her go right through me. You know, you would just feel this this just amazing energy go through you and in and out of you, and you're like, wow. Getting towards the end there, she was hanging out with me quite a bit. And one night I walked out, and I heard her actually speak. And I thought, and my mother was standing outside, and she heard this woman speak. And so, you know, it was kind of funny. You know, my mother usually isn't clairaudient, but she heard it the same as I did. And a couple of days later, I was walking down the path to my place, you know, here on the ranch, and oh my God, she, you know, I said, Anna, are you with me? And the next thing I knew, I felt like I was wrapped in cold. And it was but it was really a kind of a pleasant feeling. It was like this really good energy. She felt really good. And I was just, and I knew right then that something's up and we got to find out what. And then, so I went down and to where we think she was buried, because out here in the Sierras, you know, they tended to put people wherever they dropped back in the 1800s. And that's where she was from, 1850. So I went down there and definitely got the impression she was ready. And so, yeah, we did cross her. You're right. Giraffe, she did get healing. She was crossed in my studio, in my place, you know, the last full moon, sent her over. And there were people there waiting for her. And it was an amazing thing. A lot of people, I made a lot of people, a lot of friends aware that we were going to do it. So there was a lot of help across the country for that. And she hasn't been back since. I haven't had any sense of her. I miss her. I miss my friend. But she's over there, you know, and she's probably going to come back, you know, in a few months. I'll probably get a visit. And when that happens, I'll let you guys know. But she was the first spirit who ever did a fully formed entity before me. I woke up at I was introduced to her. That's how that was my introduction to her before I got into any of this. I woke up at, it was 26, 27 years ago here on the property and in my studio that I'm in now. I woke up at 3 in the morning and I just sat bolt upright. And I look over in the corner and there's a woman standing there looking at me and she's transparent. And I'm, you know, and I was not at all prepared for this. I mean, my family were all mediums and stuff, but you know, it's one thing to sense stuff. It's another when you've got an entity standing there looking at you. And for 15 seconds, she's looking at me and she's smiling and I'm looking at her going, what the? And I'm checking myself to see, am I really awake or am I dreaming this? And she finally faded away. And after that, it was just, you know, several times a year, and then it built up to even more times I would have her around. And when I got into the ghost hunting, she really amped it up and really started, you know, coming around a lot more. So the last 7 years I've been doing this work, she's just been a constant, you know, presence. So it's kind of like losing a family member, you know. That's how it feels. But there have been other spirits around, and I've had the funny thing is, since the night I crossed her, I'm clairaudient, so it means I've developed the faculty to hear them on occasion. And since I crossed her, the next thing that's been happening has been there's been nightly clairaudient stuff going on every night. It's just been constant stuff going on. I'm not quite prepared to talk about the details yet because it's still a little strange to me, but I've been told that this is part of my training. So I'm going along with the whole thing. And this is sort of predicted in my training that from my teacher that these things were going to happen. So for those of us doing this work with the mediumship, wow. you think that, oh, yeah, that just happens in the books, not to me. Yeah, right. When you put the effort in and you're doing the meditation and you're doing the real work and you're putting your real heart into it, and Spirit sees that. And they'll reward you with things. But the thing is, you know, mediumship is, it's, how do I put it? It's not about you. You know, you put the work into it because you want to get that message out to help people. That's what the role of the medium is. They're just a vehicle. There's no ego in this. You know, you're not special, you know, other than the fact that you're putting the effort in. And you'll probably have a real kick-ass party when you finally cross yourself. You know, that's the payoff. Cool, I'll get a great party, man. But, you know, what's really neat about it is the feeling you get when you help people and when you are able to, you know, peer into their lives and help them when they come to you with these problems and these things that they call in about. You're able to, you know, basically connect them to spirits, you know, of their family and friends and people that matter to them can offer a word of encouragement. You know, and the evidentiary process, I mean, the whole structure of readings is really neat stuff. You know, when you look at reading people, you know, it's the first thing is, you know, establishing the context. Second is, you know, providing evidence so that, you know, that you couldn't possibly know as the medium that, you know, of who these people are. And thirdly, then passing on the message. That's the basic structure of any reading. And so that's when you know, when you're able to get that down and you're getting pretty good consistent results, you know, and you've developed your relationship with your controls on the other side to really help you. Wow. And I mean, one of you out there, I won't say who, basically, I had an amazing, amazing reading the other night with this person, and it was just awesome. I mean, I was hitting names that I couldn't have known. I was hitting all these different things that were relevant. But, you know, the thing is, with readings is when you do these things, you do it and you forget about it. You know, now I can't help but remember this one because it was real special. You know, but a lot of people, when I do the normal Saturday night shows and things like that, when you do the readings for people, you are, it's funny, you'll do it and you'll go off and you'll forget about it. And then they'll call you back, you know, months later and go, you remember that reading you did for me and you said this and this and this? And I'm like, huh? You know, and I mean, and almost to a medium that I've talked to, we all say the same thing. You know, it's like, I don't remember that, you know, and that's how it should be. It's because it's not ours to remember. That's not our stuff. You know, we were just the pipeline. You know, we're just it's like the water pipe, you know, expecting the water pipe to remember when it passed water through, you know, 3 months ago. It just doesn't work that way. Occasionally you'll get a memory jog and you go, oh yeah, I remember that one. What was that? And I said, what? And you know, oh yeah, I remember that too. Okay. And it kind of jogs the memory. But, you know, the thing is, you know, when those people tend to call back, I like to see them, just my personal preference when I'm reading folks. I like it when they call back about 3 months, 6 months later. You know, I really think that reading, and I see this a lot with people who call in, people who read, you know, get readings every week. My God, I mean, you can't do that, you know. You really should go, you know, minimum 3 months, you know, average 6 months if you're going to do a reading and develop a relationship with a medium, you know, or go just pick mediums and be testing them out. But do it every 6 months. And then take with the message that you got back from spirit and apply it, because then that'll take and you'll go on to the next step. And then maybe you'll need some advice when you feel the need, and then you go on, you know. So it's a process, you know. And spirit doesn't want groupies. That's not what they're about. You know, they're not into groupies, man. Yeah, and that's why I like, you know, John Edward and some of the other you know greats out there. I mean, John, he talks about you know, holding holding his inner monster at bay, you know, because he talks about his ego and he really has to watch it, because people it's really too easy for him to become seduced by all that. And you ever notice how he's just real standoffish? You know, he never really opens up about his inner life. You know, I mean, I tend to do it here because I've got a different kind of show and the things I do, but I don't really offer too much beyond just some basics, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, with him, he has such a worldwide audience, you can't help but, you know, see that he has really has to, you know, guard himself, you know, but yet he is such a talent, you know, it just comes shining through, you know. And and he did this work for 20 years before he really got into presenting himself to the world, and it took off on him like it has. I was going to see him January of this year, but my father had another massive seizure thing that went on, so I had to let my $100 ticket go. My seat was empty. So I went ahead and he was going to be back at the same place next January. So I've got my ticket. It's waiting. I'm going to get to see one of my favorite mediums of all time and see him at work. So it'll be like going to school, you know. I get to see. I'm not sure I'll get a reading, but I'm really more interested in just seeing how he works, you know, up close and personal, and to really look at his energy and just feel it in person, be right there, because I'm going to be right up near the front. So I'll definitely do a show about it after I get back in January, you know. But I'm going to try to get around other mediums and really watch them and learn from them. Everyone does things differently. You know, Lizzie Starr out there, I like her style. She's got a real interesting style. And, you know, she's kind of a hard edge, and she's yet keyed up, and she just gets right to the core of things, you know. She's just like this shark. She goes, you know. I mean, I kind of sit there and I'll start dancing around it, you know, and all of a sudden I'll just start popping out stuff and I don't know where it's coming from, you know, and then before you know it, it's like a painting that's filling in. That's how I do it, you know, and that's how it works for me. There's others, you know, that, you know, John Edward had, who was it? John, I can't remember. He had the night where he had all the mediums on his show and he was talking about how they work. And, man, I mean, some of these guys, they just zeroed in like laser beams right on what was going on right off the bat. I'm going, how'd they do that? Wow. That's a cool thing. You know, so you learn from that though. You know, as a medium, you start thinking, what were they doing that did that? And, the next time you read, you may give it a little bit of a try, you know? So, it's just, how can you be better? You know, and that's the other thing too is when you hear them having the same problems you do. I love that when I find out, you know, I'm not the only one having trouble on a night. You know, I mean, you know, when one of the greats is sitting there saying, "Yeah, I had this happen, and this is what I did," and blah blah blah. And you're going, "Really? That happened to you too? Wow, cool. It means I'm doing things right." You know, so it's great to have those role models. You know, don't put so much into it that you don't develop your ability, but realize that they're there to guide you, you know, if you're interested in this subject. And everybody has got the ability to do this, you know. It's not just something that you know, they're special people. You know, you can develop that gift, you know, and some people are better at it than others. It's just, if you take the time to do something and learn it, you can do it. And, you know, I come from a family of them. They're all crazy enough to try this stuff. Okay, cool. Let's give it a shot. You know, so I did. And then it worked out. But thank you, guys. Yeah, Quinny says, you are too, John. Oh, I'm touched. Let's see. Lizzie, Almost Heaven here says, Lizzie is my soul sister. Two sisters brought together to make a difference. Yeah, you guys are really doing something special there on Facebook. Let me pull that up. Goodness gracious, because always on the wall, when I look at my wall, you guys have always got something going down. Let me hit Facebook here, because I don't know where you, oh gosh, now I'm not going to remember the link. Hazel, can you put the link up for that, and I'll talk you guys up. I'll give you a little free advertisement. So if you could put that up there, because I know I can't remember. I'm on the spot, and I can't remember it. God, good Lord. Oh, geez, I can't remember. I'm looking. You guys didn't post anything. Geez, you needed to post something. You could have saved me. She's laughing now. Okay. Let's see. Oh, goodness. Do we have any callers? No. Nobody's calling in. It's going to be one of those call-less nights. I'm out here all alone. Out here all alone, making the show happen. Let's see. I see guest such and such is sitting there and hasn't logged in, so guess what? Sorry, guest. Bye. Let's see, Jennifer's out there. Nancy has a big puppy on the wall. Oh, come on. Come on, Hazel. Almost Heaven. Oh, there it is, Almost Heaven. So if you go out on Facebook and look for Almost Heaven, you will find all these neat things that are going on with these two. And there it is. She posted the link in chat, facebook.com/group/what? God, you think they'd have like a friendly name, /group/ 24222804246233535. Couldn't they just say, you know, Almost Heaven? I don't know. Anyway, let's see. We are looking at 1035. I'm going to do station identification. We'll keep it real short this time. I need to take a drink. Let's see if we could get somebody to call in. and we'll see if we have any needs out there. The number is 646-478-0377. You're listening to Soul Stream here on Blog Talk Radio. And let me see. Let's do a little bit of Ghost Rider bumper. Right on. Here we go.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
That's right.
Haunted Kingdom of Gold and broadcasting from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
And you're listening to Soul Stream on Blog Talk Radio. And my good friends Almost Heaven with Lizzie and Hazel are out there. And I recommend you definitely give them a listen on Blog Talk. They've got a great show out there and a great Facebook page. Get out there and check that out. I see a caller out there, but their hand is not up, so I'm not sure. I see you, 478. So if you want to press the one key, if you do want to come on, otherwise I'll assume you're just listening in. Good to see you. We are having an interesting night. I have to talk a moment about some things that happened in my car. Yeah, as some of you know, I drive a 2005 Ford Mustang Fastback. I love my red sports cars. I've had them almost my whole life. Of course, my first car was a 1969 puke green Chevy Malibu with a straight six 250 in it, and it was a horrible car, and I swore off I would never, ever go through that again. So I got a great job, and I made money, and then I could have the car I wanted. Thank you. But I have noticed a funny thing. I don't drive particularly fast. I'm a pretty safe driver. But I've noticed that people have a particular attitude towards red Mustangs. And what I've noticed especially is a certain contingent, not all, but a certain percentage of luxury car drivers in the form of, Mercedes? And, BMWs and Lexus drivers, I'm singling you guys out because there's like a certain percentage believe that they have the right to try to take the front end of your Mustang off and to be rude and to make provocative moves at your car while you're just driving along. And so I'm not saying all, there's quite a few of them are good, but there's this certain percentage. So I have to admit I did something extremely non-spiritual. I had one the other day cut in front of me, and it was just so – it pissed me off so bad, I decided to show them the power of the Stang. And the next thing I knew, I had my floor – I had my foot on the pedal, and it floored it, and I spun that Mustang around and showed the ass end of my car, cut right back in and took my spot, and I felt really good. God, that just was like, yeah, baby. I like speed. Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, I flew a fighter plane here last October and pulled 3.2 Gs and was doing 2,000-foot dives just for fun. No, I don't flip them off. I just took my spot back, damn it. I mean, you know, and they did, the way they did it was just to show me that they could do what they wanted, and they cut over all these lanes and then put me in a really difficult spot. So I just saw that it was my American duty to take my spot back. And so I did. But later on, I was sitting there, and I could just feel my guides going, you shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But, you know, if you were in my spot, what would you do? You know, and they were kind of, there was some laughter about it. But I promise I won't do that again, maybe. But it's just every so often, I paid for all that power. By God, it's good to use it once in a while. You know what I'm talking about? There's a certain human satisfaction in that. Yeah, woo-hoo. Actually, I'm going up again. I've been waiting for Kurt to get an open slot for doing some formation flying. So I may go up in a 3-4 ship formation here sometime in the next month or two. He was trying to open up a slot in June. So I don't know when I'm going to get back up, but I just want to. I'm trying to get to 4 Gs, which is just an amazing amount of G-force. You know, your body literally weighs 4 times more when you're punching that amount of force. And believe me, you feel it. All the blood drains out of your face, and it's an experience to pull G's. It's not your average experience. And when you come out of it, you feel like you've been someplace. Let me tell you, I definitely had some aches and pains in new places I never knew about. But, yeah, I did that in October, and it was the most fun I've ever had. Now, I had the stick, and I was pulling 60-degree banks and doing incredible dives. And he was doing Immelmanns. We were doing up and overs, you know, negative, positive Gs. I didn't throw up until we landed. That was cool. Yeah. It can pull your teeth out. All I know is I saw gray a couple of times. I had actually gray spots in my peripheral vision. I was like, so, I would love to do 5 Gs, but I don't know. I think I'd pass out. So, that's I think the limit for John. I think I'll do 4, and then we'll call it even. One of my goals on my life list, I'm going to talk a little bit about life list tonight too. Because of the benefit it's done me, but that was on my life list is one of those things. But one of my life list goals when I retire out is to get my pilot's license so I can actually fly for myself, and I'm going to go for a sport pilot's license. So that's down the road. That's going to be about $7,000 to get the training and to go through that. And it's definitely going to be an interesting time. I'm probably going to scare the hell out of myself a few times. But, you know, unless you get out there and you take risks, unless you try new things, you really don't grow. And that's why we're here. But, you know, life lists are amazing things. I was introduced to life lists right out of high school. I graduated out of Roseville High many years ago. And I was basically a very insecure young man who was, you know, kind of afraid of the world, didn't know anything, and I ended up with this really wise man I met who was doing some work on our house, got talking to me, and he turned out he was a teacher, and he was a teacher of lost souls, let's just say that. And he took one look at me, and he said, what are you going to do with your life? And I says, I don't know. And bottom line was he kind of chewed me a new ass, you know, and said, you really need to have a list. You do know that. And I'm going, what do you mean? And he started telling me about a life list. And so he made me go do that. And I wrote down a list of things that I thought I would never get to do. And, you know, I wrote that list down. That was 1978. I wrote that list. I was just starting college, and I had the chance to actually live so much of that list. You wouldn't be surprised. I was really surprised when I looked up one day and had seen that I had actually gone through all these different experiences. I've walked on glaciers in the Arctic Circle I just put that down, and I ended up doing it. I've walked on active volcanoes and been right up to a river of lava. You know, I've dove with sharks. I've had the experience of petting and actually handling dolphins. Let's see some of the other things I've done. You know, flown the fighter plane, of course. You know, I've sat 700 feet from the world's largest solid rocket motor when it was fired, you know, and felt the power close up, trust me. I mean, 92 seconds of pure thunder, you know. So, I mean, these are the things that I've done, you know. I've made, but I made that list. Yeah, that's right, Hazel. You manifested it because you made the list. So I challenge you, you know, a bunch of you out there, you know, write down your life list. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, with regard to Michelle, you know, and Lisa, you know, who is going through these challenges right now, that's one thing I would, you know, recommend to Michelle and to Lisa, is to sit down and do a life list. You know, do that right now. You know, do that. Sit down and make a list of things. If you don't already have it, you know, do it. If you already have it, update it. Because a list never stays the same. It always changes as your life changes. You know, so I really like doing that kind of thing. And it really, it makes, you know, I didn't think I was going to go for a pilot's license. And now here I am already talking about it and researching what to do. You know, so in the next year or two, I'll be going for it. I'll be going for my pilot's license. Leslie says, like The Secret, what do you think and what you wish, what you think about and what you wish seemed to gravitate toward lifetime? You know, actually, I believe that true is true, Leslie. There's a bit of a theory with the way the universe works, and it's specifically with regard to our subconscious mind, because we have two minds. You know, we have the frontal mind, our conscious mind, and the subconscious, which is actually connected more to spirit and to the universal energies than we would ever imagine. And it's like when you start visualizing these things and you put it out there, it's like putting an order out, you know, for you know, at a restaurant. Eventually comes in, you know, it's manifested for you. It comes true. You just have to be careful what you manifest, you know. But it, yeah, vision board, that's another one, you know. Hazel, absolutely. Is that, that's another one I've heard about, and I've actually talked about it on the show. Is basically it's a board of pictures or clear writing about what you want, and you put it in a place where you walk by every day. And people, you know, you walk by it and suddenly you start, you know, you don't realize what's happening and you forget about it and it starts happening. It starts manifesting and boom, you know, the next thing you know, you've given this order to the universe and it's taking place. I'm doing a program right now, which a lot of people have heard of, but, and it's really kind of, I'm sorry it's named this. It's The Greatest Salesman in the World. It sounds like something that you would get for a car salesman. It's really about more about developing a the ability to manifest things in your life. And I'm on scroll number 2 now of the, I believe, 10 scrolls. So, you know, I'm on the part about loving people. And it, trust me, it's one of the most challenging ones I've ever had. I have to sit there and actually look at somebody who just cut me off, just like the guy, you know, I failed that one, I know. But, you know, I mean, I cut that guy cut me off, and then I took my spot back, you know, and I was supposed to love that. You know, it's really difficult. I mean, it's harder than I ever thought it would be, you know, because, I mean, when I get behind the wheel, it's like I'm looking at people going, yeah, but they're going to try to kill me now. You know, how do I love that? How do I love when somebody does you wrong? You know, you have to, it's basically reaching into your soul and going, if you can let go of these things, you can overcome that, and that will open up other avenues for you. So I'm trusting that that's the way it's going to work. I'm trusting that that's the answer. But I don't know, all I know is the first scroll really started changing me from the moment I did it. And as a lot of you on Facebook saw, I started doing projects and things started happening, and I'm going, where's all this coming from? And it's changing me in ways I hadn't expected. So, you know, I'm following through with that, and I really think that a lot of people would benefit, you know, by just being more aware of the owner's manual for their mind and how these things work and what the universe does. You need to love yourself first when you love yourself. Loving others is easy. Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's it's so sad because I'll tell you, you know, there are a lot, especially with the youth, you know, when you're younger and you're in school, it's such a brutal environment. It is. It's very brutal. And a lot of these kids come out of there without the inner sense of direction, you know, and they feel like they're lost, and their feelings about who they are very confused, you know. And so, you know, that's – I was lucky, you know, despite the fact I had a really rough childhood in some ways, because I got the tar beat out of me in school, and I gave as good as I got quite often, but was lucky because I had family that understood, you know, and they would take me aside and listen to my complaints, and then, you know, help ground me and get me back on track, you know. But there are kids out there that don't have that, you know, and you know, so if you see a kid in trouble, you know, try to at least guide them as best you can, you know, give them hope, you know, show them that what you know from all of you out there who have spiritual, you know, beliefs, give them something to latch onto, because they need it. You know, they're not getting it from the classes they're taking. The classes are totally into indoctrination. It has nothing to do with feeding who they are as a soul. You know, remember, they're young souls. They're lost in a lot of ways. And in other ways, they're wise beyond anything we would ever know. And they know far more than we would ever believe. But at the same time, our experience and our maturity carries a lot of weight, you know, and we can help them. So, you know, I it's funny because I have young engineers and young scientists come to me because I hear that they can come talk to me about stuff and I'll give them good advice, you know. And so I've got like this little following of people at work, you know, who come to me and they want my advice, you know, from me. They'll hear, we can talk to you. Can you tell me how to do this and this and this? And I'll give them the answers. And sometimes they'll fight me and I'll say, I've got one who's a knucklehead. The guy's a knucklehead. I mean, I tell him stuff and he doesn't do what I say, and then he comes to me and complains because it didn't work. And it's like, I got to the point with him where I say, I'm sitting up here, you know, watching you dig yourself into the mountain 3,000 feet down while I'm up here eating lunch, you know, and I'm looking down at you going, hey, the food's great up here. Would you like to come back up? And he just continually does this. And I get to the point where now where I just look at him and think, what are you doing? Why do you even come to me? I chastise him now. I go, why do you come to me when you're not going to apply what I'm telling you? And he'll go, but I had this and this, you know. So, but some of the ones that I've had, though, have turned out to, they've listened. You know, they've surprised me. They'll take what you say, and sometimes they'll do things a little differently than you thought. But they try, and that's the important thing, is they give it a shot, and then they adjust it to what works for them. And that's the best you can do. You know, and so, I mean, a lot of you out there, I'm sure you've had similar situations, you know, but guiding people, you know, in spirit and doing this kind of work, it's interesting stuff. You know, you never know quite what's going to happen. I just got a feeling that, you know, that these people that you put the effort into 30 years down the road, they're going to be where you're at in life, and then some young person's going to come to them, and it's like carrying on this tradition, you know, you're handing off the energy. And I think that's the neat thing. I just think that's the neatest part of it. So do that. Reach in, and you'll be surprised. And I think, you know, the funny part is it seems to come back to me. They remember me, you know, and I've got contacts now that when I pick up the phone, I can say, hey, you know, here's something I need. Wait, you know, can you give me a hand? And because I'm teaching them, they give back to me, you know, and then it comes back in ways I didn't expect. You know, I recently got an award for some of the work I did, and I was really pretty in a down state. I was not expecting that. And that award really lifted me up, and I had done some things for somebody that took note of what I was doing, and I wasn't expecting anything back. And so that was a very nice moment. When you get into your 50s, people start to think that maybe you aren't quite all up to date on things. And they were surprised at what I was up to. And so I got this award, and I felt pretty good about it. You know, I came home, and I had this coin in my hand, which is I won this special coin for my performance and what I did. And I like that. I like that a lot. Like my neighbor, just tell him wash, rinse, repeat. Now I'm sounding like a broken record. Yeah. You know what's funny? Pay forward in karma. There's the old statement that's so true. It applies both in your finances and it applies in the rest of your life. Pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. That works a lot. So, you know, I mean, Yeah, it's been an interesting show. You know, we got 5 minutes left. No callers. It was just me out here talking and doing what I do. A bunch of you stayed with me tonight. I'm really glad you all came. And remember the people we talked about tonight, you know, the names. And if you have anybody, especially if you, I'll say this, let's not let this die tonight. You know, we had two individuals tonight that we had, we had Mia Dolan, and we have, Lisa, who's Michelle's cousin, needing that help and needing that energy. But think about somebody that you need, that you have in your mind that may need help, and then get the word out. You know, if you want to use me as a nexus point, fine. You know, get the energy to me and let me know. And I'll definitely get that word out on the air. And I'll make that a feature of the show, because I really think the world's hurting enough. Let's do something to help people. So in addition to the readings, we do this. And might as well just try to help people feel better and help them heal. You know, it's really easy to hurt people. It's really easy to cause harm. It's harder to build them up and make them better. You know, it's the hardest thing there is to bring people back and build them up, and then watch them when they do go their way free and healthy and happy. That's the best feeling in the world. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it here. Let's see, what time we got? I got 3 minutes and 12 seconds left here. Memorizing, let me try repeating that back. John has a mesmerizing voice. Yeah, really? I do? God, I put myself to sleep. Let's see. Tonight, it's Friday night. I'm going to be on tomorrow doing mediumship, of course. And Giraffe says, please pray for my mom. 2 strokes and brain surgery since Memorial Day. We brought her home last week. Okay, there it is. We got a third one. So Giraffe Angel's mom, 2 strokes and brain surgery since Memorial Day. We brought her home last week. Giraffe, I'll tell you what, I am very familiar with strokes. I can tell you stories and give you insights that maybe you might not know anything about with regard to stroke. A lot of the professionals will not tell you things. So, if you want to compare notes, let me know, because I'll throw some things your way that'll blow you away that will be good knowledge to have. So, definitely. Get in contact if you get a chance. Anyway, let's go ahead and read off. We got 2 minutes, 7 seconds. Let's see. GRI, I can't talk now. GRI Soulstream, that's me. We got Almost Heaven, that's, is here. And she is just amazing, both her and Lizzie. Let's see. Gerber Daisy. Let's see. Giraffe. We have guest 178287. You are from France. Yeah, I'll let you stay. What the heck? We're going to close off anyway. Let's see. Hopi 66. Let's see. We got Leslie. Hello, Leslie. Big hug to you. Nancy Mum is here. Hello. Big hug to you, my friend. Quinny, who has been poking me all day. I've got my ribs are starting to hurt a little bit. And we have Thundercracker. Thundercracker, I haven't seen you in forever. Hey, good to see you, my friend. So, hey, we're going to be on tomorrow night, 9:30, and then Sunday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific, and definitely doing more Soul Stream. I'm going to see about getting some interviews in. And as you know, the following Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following, we're going to be doing some things with trying to manifest a crop circle. Who would have known that we would try such a thing? We're going to try to get into contact with the circle makers. So I'm working on this. Going to give it a shot, and if we can get somebody to make a crop circle in an area nearby us, whoever they are, whatever they are, wherever they are, we're going to give it a shot, and I will be out doing some filming with the infrared camera and different things and see if we can get any of these energies to manifest. So we're going to give that a shot. It might not work, but then again, who knows? It might. Anyway, this is Soulstream. Got 20 seconds left. Thank you guys for being on, and I'll see you guys tomorrow night. This is Soulstream signing off. Goodbye, everybody.